morning. Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert DeWalt is sitting in for Robert Knott, and we may hear a few meows and barks from the Meow Wolf Gallery. Right now, I would like to welcome Rachel Ben-Dor. She is a scholar and activist, and she is here this weekend as a guest of Creativity for Peace and doing an event tomorrow morning at 11:30 at Quail Run. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. Now, you live in Israel, and you are part of a movement called the Four Mothers Movement. Tell us the history of this.
I was actually the founder and the chairperson of this movement from the day it was founded till the very happy day when we actually achieved the goal that to stop one small war for a little while.
Stop a war.
I know.
It's big or small. It's huge.
Right. And it was quite an achievement, and we was definitely recognized and acknowledged, and for good and for bad. I mean, people criticize us, of course, as not being patriotic enough or not willing to continue the war. Sounds familiar?
Maybe.
Yeah. So it was amazing how we needed to shift people's ideas about what is being patriotic. And I think that we had some kind of success in this, in regards to the idea of patriotism and connecting with peace.
So the event that started all this off was that there was a helicopter crash in which a lot of soldiers were killed.
Right. And of course, the fact that we are residents of the north, living very close to the Lebanese border, and we were actually living in a war zone. On top of that, our children, first our husband, then our children, my child and my friends, my older son served in the army in the war, patriotic family, educating their children to give everything they have and can to their country. Of course, they went to the army and they thought that they should go to the best unit. So my son was in a very small unit, like an elite commander unit. Had to spend most of the time hiding in the bushes in Lebanon. God knows what they did it, but you can imagine. And knowing that this is going on, as I said, my husband was there and the former, 18 years before, and it's still going on. And what we are waiting for? Are we waiting for our grandson to be there or what? Is this going to be there forever? So I guess after 16 years of war, we said, okay, it's about time to do something. So I and we had this event, terrible event, and it was almost surreal because the helicopter crash at the gate of our son's high school.
Oh, my goodness.
1 year after their graduation party. And I remember looking at them dancing on the stage, in Israel, I don't know how it is here, they have at the graduation party, they actually perform or do something to the parents. And the whole class was standing on the stage, singing happy. And I hate this feeling, but instead of being just happy about it, that they are moving on to the next stage, every one of the parents knew that what they are going to experience next year. And look what happened. And guess what? In these helicopters, of course, there were people from this class.
From this graduate
class. Graduate class, right. And they crashed at the gate of their high school 1 year after. And I said, well, this is not supposed to continue like that. And it was almost a sign from the sky, literally, that something had to happen. And I contacted my friends, people, of course, think that you are crazy. And how one person, you know, ordinary, regular one, you know, I was teaching at the college in our area. How can you do something? And also, what do you know about it? It's very, very tricky, very complicated business, militarism, security, politics. You don't know anything about it.
And there, and it seems like there was a sexist element in it, saying, oh, you're just emotional women.
Right. Hysterical.
You're emotional, hysterical women.
Right.
And therefore, you should have nothing to say about the fate of your sons, who are going off to
of course
be killed.
And this is their turn.
Right.
To serve.
Well, and that's,
meaning to be sacrificed.
That's the other thing. I mean, when you have a relatively young country, that you're supposed to want to sacrifice your sons.
Right. Right. This is the normal thing to do.
Right.
And we question that.
And wanting peace gets framed as unwillingness to sacrifice.
Exactly. And this is what I'm talking about, not being patriotic enough. Me to be a patriot is to sacrifice your son, no question asked.
So what did you do? So you are the founder of this movement
and the chairperson,
three other mothers.
Well, this is the trick. The movement was named Four Mothers after the four biblical mothers, because I'm a professor of biblical and post-biblical literature, and my main area of research is the leadership of women in ancient texts. And I adopted the name Four Mothers. Were we actually four mothers? Not necessarily, but this was part of the trick.
But you were several mothers.
We were mothers, but not only mothers. We started as women and mothers, but very soon many people joined us. At the end, we were the whole country.
So but you were in men and women, mothers and non-mothers.
Right.
Opposing
right.
a war that made no sense.
Right. To us. And the perception was that mothers are leading this movement. It was actually, there is a little bit of truth to that, but I have to say that I'm very proud of the Israeli people, that they were willing to join, also generals and former army members, willing to join a movement that is named Four Mothers. By the way, the official name was Four Mothers Leaving Lebanon in Peace. And they were willing to join a movement that, yes, was definitely led by women, not only, but definitely led by women. And it was quite a lesson for Israeli democracy, how you can change something with people persuasion, people convinced that this is the wrong path.
So what did you do? I mean, you said, okay, what we are gathering together to oppose a war that we think is wrong.
Right.
What do you do next?
You start with not having any idea of how to do it.
Right.
Just woke up one morning and said, okay, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to stop a war. How the hell are you going to do it? You start to talk with friends. This is what you do. And you brainstorm, like, what would be the first thing? And you work with your instincts. And you work with your emotion. The same way in general do, when they start a war, by the way.
Right.
It's instinctive, it's about pride, it's about honor, it's about all the emotions. We use the same emotion, talking about being women, and we were trying on every radio show and television, and we were very, the new child in the, on the block. The media was very attracted to us. We are the fresh voice. So we were interviewed constantly.
Well, so that's one thing you do if you want to oppose a war, you get lots of media.
Yes, and we realized that quite immediately after we started, the media was so fond of us, and we were interviewed all across the board, also by religious nationalist stations that were actually opposing us, and they gave us so much time on air, and bad publicity and good publicity, both rejection and exception, and we started to be the voice of the country. That started to be more and more legitimate, unfortunately, because we had also many casualties. I have to say that. I'm not sure if things were calm, we were being so successful so quickly.
But the point is, there was that crash, and there were other casualties.
Exactly.
And people's children were dying,
exactly.
And they were panicked, and the movement was able to take off.
Unfortunately. I wish it would be otherwise, that we just can convince people there is no war. Let's try to make things better for us. No, usually when we get to the worst point, and the crash was the breaking point for us, as I said, it was so surreal that it happened in our backyard, and you just couldn't ignore it. So you start to learn, to teach yourself, to educate yourself about something you don't know anything about. They convince you all along that you are a woman or you are a civilian. The one who understand about peace and war are all only people who served in the army, which is so wrong. They know how to make war. They don't know necessarily how to stop it. And they need someone, they need the government or some other people to tell them, okay, enough is enough, we got what you know how to do. Unfortunately, it's also here in the United States a little bit that your military background is a big factor of being a politician and elected as a politician. And we were trying to dismiss this idea that not necessarily you're going to be a better leader if you had a military background. So we educated ourselves. And of course, you need to know that, as I said, we lived there. We were actually living what they are talking about in the news. So often we had to tell politicians and people from the government what is actually going on. Government members don't have time to really know thoroughly about a problem and an issue that we are living. They need to have time to promote their own position. And they know very little about the situation. We end up being like the encyclopedia of the nation for everything that's going on in the area. It was so funny that the correspondent and journalist and people came to us, what is actually going on there? Did you hear? Do you know any inside?
It's interesting because, I mean, Israel is a geographically small country.
Right.
That what you're saying really would be unthinkable here. You know, if mothers in New Mexico got together and became the encyclopedia for what was going on in Iraq.
Right. You would be surprised how little the leaders know about the things that they are actually supposed to take, to make decision about. Because again, I learned how their time is divided.
Interesting. Say more about that.
And from learning for my profession, I usually do a very long and still research about any issue I want to comment about. And I knew the history by living there, but I learned so much about what is happening, and I end up educating them because they knew so little. And it was the time, but it wasn't enough, because for them to hear it from us, women, civilian, it wasn't good enough. So what happened, and here is when our instinct came very handy. We ask former military person to join us, and we ask them to be our voice. So there was a group named Four Mothers, led by women, using military men to convince the decision makers that, you know what, maybe this war is not so good for us anymore. And this is how it was easier for them to hear that.
To hear it from one of them.
Exactly. And we brought mates. We brought people who served in the army with them. I remember meeting with the prime minister, so we brought someone who he fought with neck to neck. And this person was just preaching to him exactly what we wanted him to say.
And so it worked. What happened? Definitely. How did it come out?
So we did that. We also recruit people, all kinds, religious people. We really want the nation to hear that it's not only the left wing, the radical, the woman, the secular. Among us, we wanted also to show in the front that we have religious people, nationalists, military person, all kind of people that are at the same point with us. They realize that this is not working anymore, and it's about time to stop it. Also, I used a lot the national and biblical myth to serve the purpose of peace or achieving peace. And since this is the material that I'm very well I know very well, I used so often what usually rational nationalists would do, biblical passages, convincing people that this is the promise, this is the God's will. And
do you remember any of the passages that you used?
Oh, plenty. And so actually,
let's hear one.
And actually, this would be a good opportunity for me to mention that this is what I'm going to talk about tomorrow.
Yes, Rachel Ben-Dor is going to be speaking tomorrow at 11:30 in the morning. We'll give information about that in a moment at Quail Run, which is why she's here in Santa Fe, and you'll be talking about that.
Right. And the topic of this lecture is the use of biblical text in political debates in Israel, but I think that it also applies to other places in the world. And I'm going to use the one chapter from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, and this chapter is full with prophecy, promises, the promise of the prophets about a peaceful land, and this is the will or what God is going to create for us. And taking this chapter and analyze it in a scholarly way, but still that can be understood by lay people. And we had a very big event during Passover. Passover being the definitive holiday. This is the creation of a nation. And Passover is important for Jews, for Christians, for Islam. So it was broadcasted nationally on television. How are we taking the idea of the Exodus, the freedom of the slaves from Egypt, and appropriate it to the Exodus of Lebanon? So we just took the passages and the stories of Passover and definitely translated, appropriated to the narrative of our movement. And we were talking about how it's about time to free the people and bring them back to their own border. And we're just following the very well-known literature of the Haggadah, the booklet that people read around Pesach, and rewrote a new one. And it was very appealing, especially to the secular that are looking always for a relevant new meaning for this ancient text. But it was also talking about people who are connected to nationalism and religion, and we were talking their language. So it had a lot to do, and we always try to show that we are part of mainstream. We are not radical. We are not this crazy hysterical woman.
Well, that's what they always, if you want to discredit a movement,
right,
you call it far left or
right,
radical or whatever.
Right. So our immediate instinct is to show we are normal. We are the next door neighbor. We are like you. We are just pointing out, because we live in the north, and we are pointing out something that you are maybe not so much aware of that. Now, one of the things, the big lie of any war is that it's good for the people. So we needed to convince people that it's not good for us. How do you do that? Living at the war zone, we were actually bringing the real news, because the official news gave what somebody told them. Somebody told them that's happened there. But it's so fine. I'm sure it will be the same thing with Iraq. What's really happened is very, very often not similar to what you hear on the news. So we were saying, did you hear what they said, that they stopped bombing? It's not the truth. The war is still going on, and this is actually what happened. Because we are bombing, we have more casualties. Because we are trapped in Lebanon, because we are not protecting Israel from the border, we are trapped in a guerrilla war. And it's not working for us. Actually, we mentioned Vietnam quite a lot. And we were saying about, look at Vietnam, how the strong army of the United States wasn't possible to defeat the guerrilla fighter. It's the same way with us. And trying to inform the people what is actually going on. The biggest lie that we needed to break down was that this war is actually protecting us, the people of the North. And we said, no, this is not protecting us, actually vice versa. It's damaging. It's causing a lot of destruction.
And so the argument was, if we don't have this war, you will be unprotected.
Much better, right.
On your part, you'll be much better. But on the other side, it was like you'll be vulnerable.
Yes.
And unprotected.
Right, right.
But let's jump forward for a second.
Okay.
When it was all done, were you vulnerable and unprotected, or were you better off? I mean, what happened?
So this was quite surprising, because I didn't imagine that the war can stop like one day, like one second. That's it. People stop shooting at each other. It's like magic. It seems like impossible. And all of a sudden, they just stop, and it's possible. I was sure that it will go on, you know, like increase slowly. But no, one day it was over. And one day we just started to live this normal life, and people didn't get it. It took us so much time to recognize, okay, it's actually happening. We can go out of the bomb shelters. And we don't have to look at the sky all the time and say, like when I was driving on the road to work, to the college, I was always looking if it's going to fall, if the bomb is going to fall on my head and am I going to make it or not. And all of a sudden, you don't have to do it anymore. It took me years. Every afternoon, I went to the swimming pool to swim. And when I was swimming this backstroke, you always see helicopters above your head going in and out. And it's like you swim in this. I live in Israel in a place that's very similar to this peaceful village that you have here.
In Santa Fe.
And in this wonderful house that we have, everything that we would like to have. But still there is a war, and I don't know if I'm going to see my son tomorrow or not. And it's just impossible to live this kind of life.
And then suddenly there's no helicopters.
And all of a sudden, you just there is quiet. It took us so long to get used to this quiet. And then eventually we did. And it was 6 years of total peaceful quiet. And the north is very beautiful. And it's a very it's very known for these beautiful sites, and many tourists are coming. And people start to visit this area, and huge development. But then in 2006, if you remember, two soldiers were kidnapped, and it started all over again. And guess what? They blamed us for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, on that note, it's actually, unfortunately, it's time to leave.
Okay.
But people can hear. I'd love to have you on the air again and talk more about this. But if people would like to talk more and listen more to Rachel Ben-Dor, who we've been talking to just now, she will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Quail Run giving a talk on,
biblical text, religious ideas in the use of peace. How do we use them in order to convince people that God's real wish for us is to live in peace with each other, when we have so many people that preach that God's way is to get rid or eliminate people who don't believe the same way we do?
And you will be talking about, I love this, the trinity of women, politics, and religion.
Right.
Well, if people would like more information about that, they can call 995-0330, 995-0330. And the event benefits Creativity for Peace, which is a New Mexico nonprofit that nurtures the next generation of female peacemakers in Israel and Palestine. You can also look at creativityforpeace.com. Rachel Ben-Dor, scholar and activist, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, and I'm so moved by people in this heavenly Santa Fe are willing to do something to better this world, not necessarily in their backyard, but maybe it will be.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Quinn Tincher, Matt King, and Shandi Yanni from Meow Wolf Gallery. This is one of my favorite little spaces in Santa Fe that has found a new home.
Yes, we have. Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi. Morning. So you're doing some stuff over there. You're now at 1800 2nd Street. You've moved up 2nd Street. What is happening? There's a Meow Wolf Halloween Horror program.
I like that idea of moving up 2nd Street.
Yeah. Well, the horror show is a collective installation based around the idea of horror, as represented by 20 different artists. Using recycled materials, basically.
Like our previous shows, if anyone's gone to them, I know Mary Charlotte, you have.
the same idea as a bunch of people working together to do one large installation, but this one is 10 times anything that we've done before, just because the new space is so much more space, and since we've been going, started last February, more people have come that are dedicated and super involved. So is
it like some of your past events, a really collaborative installation where the work, you don't even know where one artist's work starts and the next one and leaves off?
It's sort of like that, but with this show, there's a lot of levels of collaboration that have happened. The first level was actually moving into the space, and we did some demolition work in the space, and we reused all the materials from the demo work to divide up the space into about 15 different spaces. So there's this collaborative construction effort that happened.
And having so much more space allows us to spread out more. So you do get a more individual aspect of each artist, but it comes together in a really flawless, seamless presentation.
I was there the other day, and it had a sort of haunted funhouse feel to it.
And I think that was sort of the idea with... We decided the word horror, and then we worked on that collectively, that horror as an idea, and then once pretty much a maze of rooms was built, and then we individually sort of broke off and worked individually in those rooms using that idea of horror.
So one of the things that is horrifying is... old salvaged TV sets from the 70s.
That was actually a room that I did, and I think I have 19 televisions in a big pile. About 16 of them, I think, are playing videos that I have made. And it's sort of a chaotic mind scramble, almost, of videos.
So all of this is happening Halloween weekend, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, October 30th and 31st and November 1st, and it's every night from 7 to 10 in the evening?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And,
yeah.
We actually opened yesterday. We opened on the 16th, and we'll be going every weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, until the 7th of November, and Halloween's going to be the special Halloween weekend, Meow Wolf's Halloween weekend. So.
Sorry to interrupt. You said 7 to 10, but tonight, actually, we have something a little different going on, and we're going to be open the installation show from 6 to 8, and then 8 to 10 tonight, we actually have a music show that got booked, and they had already sent out press releases, so we couldn't really...
So you're going to be doing music in the horror space.
It's Nosferatu and Sabretooth Cavity tonight, so that'll be from 8 to 10.
Nosferatu and Sabretooth Cavity.
They are just great guys. It's going to be fun show. Like Gnostic metal? I don't know. That's the description we've been throwing around. But I would just say, come on by and see it. It's the events inside the space are beyond description, really.
Quinn Tincher, Matt King, and Sean Diani of Meow Wolf Gallery, 1800 2nd Street. Check it out, and this weekend, tonight, and over the Halloween weekend. And is there a contact number if people want more information?
They can call 505-514-0045.
Thanks so much, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you again.
Rob DeWalt is with us in just a second. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt, sitting in for Robert Knott. He is the calendar editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Welcome.
Good morning. Robert Knott is taking a well-deserved vacation.
Bless his Robert Knotty heart.
Yeah. I mean, he'll still be on vacation, but he will be visiting with you next week, I believe.
Yes, indeed.
Robert Knott is working diligently on getting the sets ready for his production over at Warehouse 21 that starts soon. I'm actually going to be helping him paint tomorrow. That's how I'm going to spend my weekend.
Well, we'll be talking about that production on the program in a week.
That's great. That's great. Actually, I heard the show yesterday. You had Lynn Canning on.
Yes, very briefly.
Was talking about Rock for Barack.
Yes.
And wow, that was a roller coaster getting that thing together. But it is going on still.
And that is an extravaganza at the Santa Fe Brewing Company with, what, 800 different bands playing?
They've actually scaled back the list of performers a little bit, but
so
there's
now
still
it's only
tons of music.
14 bands?
Yeah, there's a U.S. Pipe, Paul Rivers Bailey, there's a bunch.
A lot of them.
There's a bunch.
And that's happening from 11 to...
11 to about 10 o'clock
at night.
P.M. And actually, if you bring your voter registration card, if you haven't voted early yet, they can shuttle you to early voting places.
Do you have to bring your voter registration card?
If you're going to vote? It's recommended, but it's not necessary.
It's not. I mean, we don't have those draconian Indiana-like ID laws.
No. Actually, tonight they're having an official Rock for Barack pre-party at the College of Santa Fe. And the original plan was to have people show up. And if you could, if you had proof of voter registration, then you were going to get a discount. But they've changed everything, and now it's just, you know, a certain amount of money at the door.
So, in any case, you can go to Rock for Barack, you can be shuttled to the early voting places, and you can vote. Ladies and gentlemen, it is your right and your duty to vote, and I say this every year, and it's very important, and go out there and vote.
For as much hard work as everyone put into getting that thing together and trying to keep it from falling apart, you know, it would behoove everyone not only just to go out and support the people that are promoting the show, but also to exercise your right to vote.
On another topic, the Santa Fe Playhouse has extended its deadline for submissions to its annual Benchwarmers production. The one-act play festival opens in January. Plays should be no more than 15 minutes long and allow for the fact that the only stage setting is a simple bench. Aspiring playwrights can use the bench in any manner imaginable. They can pick it up and hit Robert Knott over the side of the head with it or anything else. The new deadline must see scripts submitted to the Playhouse or postmarked by October 29th. Submission protocols and other information is available at santafeplayhouse.org.
Lots of plays going on this week, too. There's Les Liaisons Dangereuses continues at the James A. Little Theater on Friday at 7:30 p.m. I believe there's another show on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And I believe there's another show on Sunday at 2 p.m., and if you want information about that show, just go to theaterwork.org or call 471-1799. And actually, Santa Fe High has a production this weekend. They're doing a play by Joan Holden called Nickel and Dimed, which is actually based on Barbara Ehrenreich's novel Nickel and Dimed on Not Getting By in
America.
That's
not a novel. That's an actual nonfiction book.
It's a nonfiction book. That's correct. But there's a production at Santa Fe High at 2100 Yucca tonight at 7 o'clock. And there's also another show, I believe, on Saturday at also 7 o'clock. And you can call 467-2970 for reservations and to hear more about all of that stuff.
And the St. Vincent's Hospital Foundation invites you and your friends to enjoy an evening at Vanessi's this weekend, October 17th, 18th, and 19th. Vanessi will give 20% of its proceeds to help the Glenna Goodacre Neurosurgery Suite at St. Vincent's Regional Medical Center. For information, you can call 982-9966.
Say, I also happened to hear your interview with Philip Bimstein.
Bimstein.
Is it Bimstein
Steen.
Or Steen?
Steen. It's Steen. I get it wrong, but I did ask.
I interviewed
he's
him
brilliant.
By phone.
He's
he is
hilarious.
Such a funny guy. I mean, he can go on forever, which made my job really easy. But there's a story about the whole concert that's happening, the Santa Fe New Music Young Composers Project Awards Ceremony that's happening on Saturday at 6 p.m. There's an awards ceremony at 6 o'clock, and then it's followed by a concert with music by works by David Lang and Peter Garland and Philip Bimstein. That's at 7 o'clock, and that's at the CCA.
Santa Fe New Music at the CCA.
I know, 1050 Old Pecos Trail.
Yep.
The ceremony, there's no charge. There is a charge for the concert. If you can get tickets at Nicholas Potter Bookseller or at the Lensit.
You know what I love about Bimstein's work is that while a lot of people who are inspired by John Cage will just drop slinkies on the floor and that's supposed to be music,
right.
He'll actually take sounds from everyday life and make them into music so that they actually sound really interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
musical.
He'll reformulate a natural sound and he'll work it and work it and work it until it becomes a rhythm.
Exactly.
And what he told me was that when he works, it becomes almost by accident that people sort of get drawn into his stories, you know, his Hershey Garland's cows, Cats in the Kitchen, You know,
we played some of that on.
I know. I love it. My dogs hate it, I have to say.
Your dogs hate the cow sounds?
My dogs hate the cats.
Oh, the cats.
They hated the cats.
Well, I'll tell you, when my dogs hear any kind of cat or other animal sound on the television or on the radio, they run outside barking like maniacs.
Right. Speaking of dogs, yes. On Tuesday the 21st, Santa Fe Complex Q Bio Lecture Series, Origin of the Domestic Dog.
Yes.
Lecture by Thomas Leitner, Los Alamos National Lab Scientist.
We're going to have him on the air after that, but you should go to the lecture first, and then we'll hear my program.
I don't know much about the lecture. Do you know much more about it than
that? He's going to be talking about the origin of the domestic dog.
As the title implies.
As the title would indicate.
I don't know. In my
house.
No,
it's a DNA thing, and if you have an unusual dog, you get to give hair samples of your dog so they can analyze the
DNA.
Are
you seriously?
Yeah.
I have a puppy at home, and we think it's a part Shar Pei, part Healer. But I want to settle the argument once and for all, because people seem to think that she was just, she looked like she had Shar Pei because she was really wrinkly when she was little.
That would indicate Shar Pei.
I believe so.
Anyway, it's a dog lecture at Santa Fe Complex, which is at 632 Agua Fria.
For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Isn't that what they say?
That when Robert Knott is on the air, I find that to be absolutely true.
Absolutely true. From Arizona, we get Senator John McCain, but we also get a great band called Peach Cake. Indie electronica band Peach Cake is going to be playing with Chemstar and Rain Vivian, who are sort of local electronic / industrial acts. They're going to be playing from 7 to 11 p.m. at Warehouse 21, 1614 Paseo de Peralta.
Can you be over 21 and still go?
You know, that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand, and probably because of Warehouse 21's history and because of the name, it's easy to assume that it's an under 21 venue.
Right.
When in fact it really is teens and young adults who can both get something from anything that happens there, whether it be any of the workshops or any of the concerts. I encourage anyone, if you're a young adult or if you're a teen, to show up and support it. There's twice as much.
What about Warehouse 40?
You know, I think that Warehouse 40 it comes from the inside. We don't need a building for that. I don't think we need a building for that. But I would encourage people to go out to the show tonight at Warehouse 21. Starts at 7 o'clock. Go to warehouse21.org to get more information on that show.
The Ryder Studio of Drawing and Painting will hold its first annual Vernissage open house on Friday, October 17th. That's today. From 6 to 8 at the Second Street Studios, number 31. Let's see. The Vernissage was the day before the opening at a French salon exhibition. I guess that's the origin of the term, when artists were all varnishing and touching up their works for public exposure. And it was a big party and a preview for those lucky enough to mingle with the artists. So this is a Vernissage meant to introduce new works and emerging artists to the public. For more information, you can go to RyderStudio.com, and that's spelled R-Y-D-E-R studio.com.
Have you been to any of these parties that have been going in town called Funk the System?
No, I wish I had. I haven't been invited.
This is your last chance this year to go to one. There's a big contingent of these folks are actually heading to Brazil for the season, and they won't be back until it gets a little warmer. So this is your last chance. Saturday night, DJ Miss Ginger, the Werewolf Micah, and digital video jockey Pri Bertucci. It's the last part of the year. Salsa, funk, soul, Afro beats.
Did you say salsa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, mixed up salsa.
Right, right.
It's not gonna be your average salsa
gig. Right, right.
Great thing is that they have food, they have drink concessions. Members of the Humble Art Collective are going to be there doing live art demonstrations. Kicks off at 8 p.m. At the Santa Fe Tea Company Warehouse, which is at 1590 West San Mateo Lane. They have a website where you can get more information. They don't have a phone number. The number, the website is funkthesystem.blogspot.com.
And for those of you who are morning people, the fall cleanup at the Ortiz Dog Park is happening tomorrow from 9 to noon. Hundreds of people use the dog park, and that means lots of dog poop. The cleanup and sponsors looking for 50 to 100 volunteers to show up and do some scooping, and they're going to provide rakes and shovels and barrels, and they'll haul away the garbage. And it's the only off-leash dog park in the city so far, so check it out.
It's the only one in the city?
The only off-leash dog. It's not like people use leashes all the time everywhere, but
I was going to say, you would think that every park in Santa Fe is an off-leash dog park, but that's another story. Historic Canyon Road Festival and Paint Out. This is a new event, I believe. It's Saturday the 18th from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. On Canyon Road between Paseo de Peralta and Palace Avenue. There's a reception for the official dedication by the mayor's office announcing October 18th as Historic Canyon Road Day. And that starts at 10 a.m. at Giacobbe Fritz Fine Art, which is at 702 Canyon Road. You can get more details on all this by calling 983-1444.
Excellent.
What else? Oh, there's a lot of these outdoor markets. There's been a ton of outdoor markets all across Santa Fe, and this is one of the last weekends to enjoy a couple of them. So the Southside Art Market, which is in Plaza Contenta on Jaguar Drive. This is your last chance to visit the outdoor market, and that's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then it's also your last chance for the Santa Fe Society of Artists Group Show Outdoor Market. And there's more than 20 artists that you can view their work, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. Both of these art markets on Saturday. Next to the El Dorado Hotel. Let's see, where is it? Oh, across from the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum on Johnson Street.
New ceramics by Theo Helmstatter at the Green River Pottery in Chimayo, New Mexico. And the opening reception is tomorrow from 1 to 5 in the afternoon. And let's see, it's going through November from 9 to 6. New pottery, they sent some pictures, very beautiful pottery. For more information, you can call 351-1174.
Do you like comic books?
Don't tell anybody.
Do you?
Yeah.
Graphic novels, comic books. This weekend is 24-Hour Comics Day.
Oh, I love 24-Hour Comics Day. We had them on last year talking about that. It's very interesting.
It is, and it's not at True Believers this year. It's at Warehouse 21 because the event is sort of, it's getting bigger. And there's a lot of comic freaks in this town. I'm one of them. Write 24 comic book pages in 24 hours. Begins at noon and on Saturday at Warehouse 21 and ends 24 hours later. You can call True Believers Comics and Gallery for more information on that. Don't call Warehouse 21. They won't have all the information. Call True Believers at 992-8783. And you can get online and find out more about 24-Hour Comics Day, which is a national event.
It's a national event, and some of the products of that have been published in books that are compilations of some of the best work that people produced in these ridiculous marathons that involve being really tired and having a lot of caffeine and Lord knows what else, and using all the materials you've got and burning the midnight oil, and it's some of the stuff that comes out of it is really twisted and really great and beautifully executed.
I think it's sort of like cramming for an exam or a test. You know, sometimes you do some of your best work when you're sort of pushed like that, when someone sort of lights a fire under you. So I'm interested. I'm going to observe. I'm going to be around Warehouse 21 painting sets on Saturday, so I'm going to poke my head in.
Oh, poke your head in.
See if I can get some pictures. And
Occam's
stuff.
Razor, that's also something that's happening tomorrow, 4 to 8. That's an art show interpreting the concept Occam's Razor.
Right.
Which is about how the simplest explanation is usually the best explanation for things.
Right.
And how do you do that artistically? Well, find out at Santa Fe Complex, 632 Agua Fria, and there's going to be music and, I hope, refreshments from 4 to 8 in the afternoon tomorrow.
There's two museum openings this weekend. There's Museum of Indian Arts and Culture on Museum Hill. Is A River Apart, the Pottery of Cochiti and Santo Domingo Pueblos. And there's a reception from noon to 4 p.m. That show is up through June 6th of 2010, so you don't have to rush out to see it, but it does open on Sunday. And actually on Saturday, the New Mexico Museum of Art opens Fashion and Film, Period Costumes for the Screen. Reception, Robert Knott probably is in love with this exhibit just because of his love of film. There's a reception from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, and that hangs through January 9th, or drapes, should I say, through January 9th, 2009. And there's a great story in Paso Tiempo about it.
Tomorrow from 9 to 3 at the Christ Lutheran Church at 1701 Arroyo Chamiso, there is an event involving food, arts and crafts, antiques for sale, a petting zoo, and a pet section where they will have dogs that are saved, that need to be saved, and dogs up for adoption. So if you would like to either show up at that event or volunteer for that event, you can find out more information by calling Sky at 629-9998.
Wow, there's a family concert at Temple Beth Shalom on Sunday. So, and if I pronounce this wrong, please forgive me.
Zuleika.
Music by Hugh Hanley. And that's 2 p.m. on Sunday, 205 East Barcelona Road. And call 982-6888 for more information on that.
And then Monday, Rumi, the big Rumi event.
The big Rumi concert.
The big Rumi concert.
Right.
Coleman Barks, Zuleika, Glenn Velez, Rahim Alhaj, I think David Darling. I'm not looking at it right now. But we had her on the air the other day. We had them on the air the other day. And the poetry of Rumi is timeless and oceanic and amazing. And they've been doing this concert together in different forms for many years. Mm-hmm. So it should be very interesting.
This is a big annual event here in Santa Fe.
It is indeed.
And it's usually always at the, excuse me, at the Lenzic.
It's at the Lenzic.
Mm-hmm.
It's still at the Lenzic.
On Wednesday, the 22nd, the School for Advanced Research Lecture Series presents The Crouching Village, Youth and the Organization of Violence in Sierra Leone and Liberia. It's a lecture by anthropologist Daniel Hoffman. That's at noon in the SAR boardroom, which is at 660 Garcia Street. And there's no charge for that lecture, and you can call 954-7203 to find out more.
And Tony and Brandy, Tony Burford and Brandy Herbert, will be playing blues, ballads, and jazz at the Ore House, and that is tonight from 8 until 11.
From 8 until 11?
Uh-huh. At the Ore House.
Let's see. What else is going on? The 9th Annual Taos Storytelling Festival. Society of the Muse of the Southwest presents a weekend of stories for the family. It starts today, and it runs through Saturday. It's at venues in Taos. If you go to somostaos.org or call 877-758-7343, you can get a schedule and find out
and
tickets.
And Serenata of Santa Fe presents Our Bach, chamber music of Johann Sebastian Bach, on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 19th of October at 3 o'clock at the Santuario de Guadalupe at 100 Guadalupe Street in Santa Fe, and all sorts of wonderful music by Bach. For further information, 989-7988.
You know, just because High Mayhem doesn't have a sort of studio to call their own right now, they're still presenting concerts all around town. And there's actually a concert on Saturday at 9 p.m. at O'Shaughnessy Performance Space on the College of Santa Fe campus, starring El Mapi, who's a French electronic pop instrumentalist, and Idris Goodwin, who's a spoken word performer / hip-hop artist.
And one more thing, which is very important, which is that the Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary is having an estate planning seminar for companion animals. That's Saturday, tomorrow, from 10 until 1 at Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary, 471-5366. For more information and to register, you can go to kindredspiritsnm.org. And this is a very important topic because when people are outlived by their pets, a lot of the time they don't make arrangements for their pets, and that leads to a lot of problems and a lot of heartbreak and heartache. But you can plan for that and make sure that Fluffy and Killer have wonderful homes.
Exactly. If you're not Leona Helmsley, you might want to make other plans.
That is exactly true. Robert DeWalt is calendar editor for the Santa Fe New for the Pasatiempo of the Santa Fe New Mexican. It's the Friday Arts Magazine, and he is a fabulous guy, and you should just come in from time to time, because we'd love to have you here substituting for Robert.
I'm going to pop by. I'm going to pop by and surprise you.
You should pop by.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the site SantaFeRadioCafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz a la carta. Have a wonderful weekend, ladies and gentlemen, and be safe and be happy and wear your seatbelts and eat healthy food and everything. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, we will see you on Monday. Hasta la vista. Ciao.